What is up, everybody? Thursday, and we are at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill. Meet Mike Dettillier here in Kennebra, 4540 Williams Boulevard. Be here till 7 o'clock, and then Thursday night football takes over. The New York Giants and Dallas Cowboys tonight, Mike. But lots of action always, obviously, at the Treasure Chest. Plenty of casino games, gambling, and plenty to eat as well in the bar and grill.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to thank Mr. Eddie Este. Ronnie Este's older brother come by and visit us. He lives in Harahan, so he took a little trip down here. We reminiscing a little bit about them days on the bayou. Don't live there no more, but he grew up there. And also Miss Kathy and Mr. John here from the Bay St. Louis area come on by and visit us. They kind of watch us a little bit on another show on Mondays, and so they took the trip down here to Kenna. To see us at the Treasure Chest. So we appreciate y'all stopping on by, and they already partaking in the eating here at the league. So they happy right now. They happy. So we want to thank y'all for dropping by. Appreciate it.
Looking at, Mike, the big news right now, obviously everyone concerned about the Saints injury report after yesterday. The Saints ended up finishing a practice today. The injury report is out for Thursday. A little bit of change in some of the action. You see that Landon Young was upgraded from limited to a full go. He's dealing with a foot issue. Another did not practice yesterday was Alante Taylor. Thankfully, he is a full go for the black and gold. Alvin Kamara also upgraded to limited after not practicing yesterday. But the two big ones, at least, DeMario Davis still dealing with a hamstring issue, not practicing. Also guard Cesar Ruiz with a knee issue, not practicing. And then some two additions to this injury report for Thursday. A.T. Perry, the wide receiver, hamstring, didn't practice. And then Cedric Wilson Jr., another wide receiver with an ankle issue, was limited.
Good news, Alvin.
Yeah, back for at sure. Practice, you need him.
Because, he's such a big part of your attack. Now, we figured Alante Taylor, because of the illness, that he would be back.
Got some good meds.
Alvin Kamara being back at practice, I know it was limited, but you kind of figure that he's going to play.
Progressing right, at least.
Well, I think the bigger news is what happened in Atlanta.
Right.
With you got some guys there, and Jake Matthews, and there's, I think, another Matthews to be added to the clan. They got a bunch of them. Bobby played with Clay in the original Bruce Matthews and
right.
All that.
Dude, what an NFL bloodline.
Man, do they have it. And then Matt Judon
big
with
one,
a hamstring
right.
With limited. And Bijan Robinson, who has – he's talked about he's got a little bit of a shoulder that has given him some issues, and he was limited today. So everybody's coming in walking wounded. I talked about this to Deuce yesterday. I counted, and I went back, and the count was 14 starting offensive linemen went down to injuries this past weekend. 14! And a big chunk of them was in the Eagles Saints game, and then Atlanta
right.
Catches it with two of them also. So that's not a lot of depth out there to say, oh, some guy on the street got his hand up. Okay, I don't know if he can play or not, but it does go to show you. And I talked about this quite a bit. I did a kind of research paper myself on it a few years back on which positions get hurt the most, tackles, guard, center, 1, 2, 3. The good news on here is Landon Young back as a full participant, and with Cesar Ruiz missing another day.
Not looking
that
good.
Tells me Landon Young, they're going to kick him inside the guard. He's going to be your starting guard.
Right. Now, you talk about it a lot, too, obviously, the center being so vital, especially when it comes to gambling. That's what I was going to say, though, too. The Saints obviously dealing with McCoy. He's on injured reserve now, but the Falcons center also out this game.
Yeah, so,
even Stevens right there, at least.
Pretty much. And now you got McGrady. He's
back-to-back days, right?
Back-to-back days, did not participate. So you got a situation there, your right tackle and your starting center. And with the Saints, you won't have your starting center, that's for sure. And you probably won't have your starting right guard. Everybody's walking in with some injuries one way or another along the offensive line.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, the Saints elevated Shane Lemieux yesterday from the practice squad to the active roster, and I'll be curious to see how they end up positioning all these guys on the offensive line with so many, you know, holes and pieces seeming to have to be shuffled around.
Yeah, and Reed, he signed to the practice squad, but I wouldn't be surprised he gets elevated because he has played in the NFL. He's 32 years old. He's bounced all over the league.
Been there, done that, right?
He has played at both center and guard, and so he would give you that. I've seen, man, in the past with Lemieux at center in the preseason, it wasn't real good.
Not a ton of confidence, right?
Yeah, he kind of rolled a few of them, and then he almost hoisted one over the head of both backup quarterbacks for the Saints.
I know Deuce mentioned, though, yesterday the fact that he thinks that Lemieux could end up being in that center role to keep, obviously, some consistency at the tackle position with what's his name? Who filled in at center? Lucas Patrick, I'm sorry.
Yeah, with Lucas. But Lucas has started a lot of games in this league.
Right.
At the center position. He's used to it. I think what happens when you lose your starting center is the communication part of it. Okay, you the center, and you are communicating with the two guards. And the two guards are communicating with the two tackles. And then if you got to come out of that and redo it, then you got to re-communicate with everybody. Okay, this is not Polk High and you're not Al Bundy. When I played in high school, okay, when you played, this is a much different game today and how they attack you today a lot more, let's say, than when Bob played. I think a lot of that was coming off the edge if they sent somebody. Today, it's right up the middle. It's right up the A-gap. They're coming in and trying to get pressure on you because the quickest thing to get to the quarterback is a straight line, and they're putting a lot of heat on you right up the gap. You got to know what you're doing, and you got to get the other four guys to understand what they got to do. And a lot of times, too, Kevin Mawai brought this up to me at Louisiana Line Camp, that with all these young quarterbacks now, and we see them, you know, with Caleb Williams in Chicago, we certainly see it with Jaden Daniels, with the Commanders, Bo Nix in Denver, that sometimes it's calming a young quarterback down. You know, good play, bad play. Hey. It's, you know, trying to calm them down a little
bit.
Absolutely. Because you can get overly excited a little bit, and that's part of the center. His de-escalate, maybe you getting a little bit too high, a little bit too low with things.
Want to hear from you folks on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870, or stop by. We're at the Treasure Chest Casino here till 7 o'clock inside the game bar and grill right next to the sports book. Put some money on the Saints, LSU, or although the Tigers haven't been covering this year.
They ain't covered a one game. yesterday, the guy we had on, Brad Evans, he was like, Mike, I think they'll cover this week. I said, well, you can gamble your money, not mine. I'm not doing that. Man, I do know South Alabama, and they may cover. But, man, South Alabama's been able to score some points. They rolled up over 80 against Bobby's old team at Northwestern State, and then last week it was over 50. So I think LSU wins this game, and I think they do it with some comfort in the second half, but they haven't played well defensively in the first half of games other than the first game
right. Against
Southern Cal.
Taking a break, we'll be right back, so stay tuned here on WWL at the Treasure Chest Casino. You heard the intro coming back in. We are at the Game Bar and Grill from the Treasure Chest Casino. Come join us here, 4540 Williams Boulevard, right in Kenner. Getting ready for the NFL season to kick off week four tonight. Kind of hard to believe we're already week four of the NFL season. It's going to be the Dallas Cowboys at New York Giants.
Before you know it, bloop.
Right, exactly.
It's going to be over with.
And after this week, you hate looking ahead to stuff, but after next week, this Sunday's game, next week we got Monday Night Football against the
Kansas
City Chiefs, right, yeah.
It's all good. It's all good. Man, Tulane picked up a big commitment today. I remember scouting his brother Noah. He was first-round pick out of Auburn, but Tulane picked up today Michael Igbohini. And cornerback, he chose Tulane over Ole Miss, Florida State, Central Florida last year. Five interceptions in 13 games. So the mom and dad, both track athletes, tremendous track athletes. And so That's a big commitment. And in an area that I know in talking to Coach Summerall about, he had brought up that, you know, it gets harder and harder to get those guys because, you know what, they all want to play wide receiver. They all want to play receiver
sure,
today.
Sure, everybody wants to do the gritty like Jefferson.
Yeah, nobody want to play cover cornerback. That we would laugh, Pete Jenkins was saying about, man, about defensive, offensive linemen, you could put them all on one bus and bring them to the line camp. Now, that's not true because we got over 700 of them that come every year. But, you know, if you had to choose, everybody wants to play receivers, the glamour position today, but that's a big pickup. And, you know, I know his brother didn't have great success, so to speak, in the NFL. But he ended up being a first-round pick coming out of Auburn. So Green Bay picking up Michael Igbohene, who's a nice-sized cornerback. And that's you up against Ole Miss, Florida State, Central Florida. That's a big get for him.
No, Coach, looking like Coach Summerall is a closer, too, when it comes to recruiting.
Yeah, he's really good with that. Man, he got a good sense of humor, too. We get along good on Tulane Tuesday, and he laughs at a lot of the stuff. But he got a good sense of humor. You can tell he's a really good coach. He understands the game at a certain level, and he plays to the strength of his football team. And he knows right now with the young quarterback who's super talented. Mensah is really, really good. But the bread and butter is offensive line play, running the football.
Yeah.
They gave up some big plays against the Raging Cajuns, and I give them credit there. The Raging Cajuns, they, especially early on, made a bunch of big plays, but they got off the field on third down. And I thought that was super important for Tulane in their win last week against what's that team they beat, Charlie Long?
University Man. Of Louisiana. He's going to be real quiet now.
Yeah, I ain't going here. But listen, it took them to the end to finally kind of seal the deal.
We're going to do it. Step away, take a break. We'll be right back and get the director of marketing here at the Treasure Chest, Rodney Miller, on with us right here on WWL. I want you to stop by. We're at 4540 Williams Boulevard. That's the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill right here on WWL after the break. Yes, indeed. We are back in Treasure Chest Thursdays here on WWL and happy to welcome in with us the director of marketing over here, Rodney Miller. Appreciate you always having us. And how you doing today?
Doing great. Welcome to the all-new Treasure Chest. We're having some fun out here. It's good to have you all over here.
Rodney told me you've been here 20 years with Treasure Chest. And, man, to have it here, it's easy to get to. You can't miss it, so to speak. You're on the right-hand side as you're driving down.
Yeah.
But, man, they got so many different features now, especially the steakhouse. Also with the league here that you can come and eat, and they got all the TVs. You can come gamble a little bit. And
oh, yeah.
If you want to place a nickel or two or four or five or ten on a ball game, you can do that too.
Oh, yeah. We got a little something for everybody. That's what's so exciting. You know, you joke about the it's easy to get to. You know, a lot of times people ask us what we're excited about. It's parking.
Oh, what?
It's the simple
in the
things.
The front, the side. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Oh, yeah. For the longest times, you know, 30 years on the riverboat, and we asked guests, and they wanted to get on a shuttle or walk. You
That's
know,
true.
To put it in sports perspectives, it was three football fields long. Somebody had to walk to get to the front doors of the riverboat.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's just goal line. You know, you're right there.
I'll never forget the first time we came to the when it was riverboating, you know, my wife said, oh, you can park right here. They'll come get you in the shuttle bus. I was like, shuttle bus? She was like, yeah, you can't walk over there. I was like, okay. But everybody was happy you got into the little overhang and everything. And so it all worked out real well. But, man, this is awesome here.
Yeah, how long has this been open now, this location?
So we opened beginning of June. So we're going on our fourth month. You know, time flies when you're having fun.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, it's exciting. You know, for 20 years, I've kind of come here with a smile on my face, but the smile's been a lot bigger. You know, and it's been a lot bigger on the people walking in as well. You know, like you said, we have everything from new slot machines, more table games, more restaurants. That's exciting part about it, to have a steakhouse to sit down in, have this fantastic venue right here, the game with the sports sports book right next to. FanDuel's been a very good partner with us. Number one sports book in the country.
You sound like Bobby with that.
Not number one.
Exactly, and it's good to have that and to put the product right next to it, like the game. You know, at the game we wanted to you know, it's all about, at the end of the day, the game. You know, y'all talk throughout the week about the game.
Yeah.
And we wanted to kind of have a venue where it all kind of comes together. You know, it's the food, it's the atmosphere, it's the sports book right next to the casino. So it has a little of everything. It all comes about the game.
And a lot of times, you know, you're playing a little bit, it might not be too good for you. So you, you know, come cool off in here, you get you a drink or two, you get you something to eat. You know, you watch the games because, man, you're surrounded by TVs here. And then, you know, man, I know it's my time to win. And I go back out and maybe try to click it this time.
Exactly. Just steps away. So, you know, and you can hear the, you can hear the winning going on from in here, you know, and the winning's going on in here as well as the Saints and hopefully LSU as well this week.
You know? Obviously, you've been with the Treasure Chest so long now, but what's it been like now with the sports gambling becoming so popular and prominent?
It's brought in some new faces.
Right.
You know, it's a lot different group. So we're excited that they came in. And, you know, it's something new for us that we've been learning and having fun with. You know, and, you know, on Sundays and Saturdays, you know, it's a lot different in here. You know, people cheer a little bit extra sometimes.
You know, the crazy thing about it is you wouldn't think they got that much interest in you know, North Dakota State or South Florida or Illinois.
Everybody's got those parlays going.
You come in here, oh, man, do you know the score of that Illinois game? What? Man, you know, you are living in Louisiana. I know, but I got maybe a little bit of coin on that Illinois game. So it broadens the perspective, so to speak, if that's your gig to do and you got all the amenities here to do it.
Exactly, yeah. You know, you got all these TVs, so like you said, one game is watching North Dakota, one game's over here watching, you know, an Eastern Coast team, and, you know, you hear cheers, and you're like, wait, no, my game's not doing that good, you know. So you hear the different kind of back and forth, and it's exciting to see that and, you know, either cheer or kind of root them on a little bit different.
And we're doing this right before Thursday night, and we'll be here every Thursday, other than I think a couple Thursdays. One of the Thursdays when the Saints play on a Thursday when they play Sean Payton and the Broncos. So tonight, Dallas and the Giants. And we saw last week, it was maybe a half an hour before the game started. They had a nice little line. Everybody's looking
right before the game.
Right before the game. Man, I'm thinking about it. Let me go and hurry up, place that game. And then they sit in here. The food's awesome here. And y'all got a lot of great food and drink specials here.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's the exciting thing. You know, we're working on a new fall lineup already. We're kind of changing the menu, you know, kind of keep it new, keep it fresh. So the kitchen here at the game and all of our restaurants really are kind of putting in a new menu for the fall. And that will be rolled out very soon, you know, more sandwich options, more combinations to our pizza, our wings, more appetizers, more on the bar as well, more craft beers. We're excited about the bar. Like you said, if food's not the thing, we have, like, the social side with drinks and just different options, everything for everybody.
And two is, won't be too much longer, you know, because we are the radio station of the Pelicans, and you can watch that game right here.
Oh, yeah.
And come watch it if it's a Monday night, a Tuesday, a Thursday, or whatever, the Pelicans, because that starts in October, right,
Steve? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, man, we right around the corner from Pelicans basketball, and then, man, that thing lasts all the way to the end of April, sort of speaking, if you're able to advance into May. So, hey, come on down here to the Treasure Chest and get something to eat, watch the games. If you're into making a little bit, I think you can make a little money, go, you can give a little bit of chance of luck over here.
I'm curious, you know, we talked a little bit about obviously the drinks and some of the casual food here at the, you know, the game bar and grill, also the cafe, but what about the steakhouse that's here? Is it more of a fine dining kind of experience?
It's definitely an elevated experience. We brought in some great chefs from Vegas. So they've got some different spin on things, you know, but they definitely blended in the local. You know, you got to have that local flair to it as well.
Going to have to bring the wife for a date night.
Exactly. You know, it's a great atmosphere.
Come on, Steve, don't keep that money in your pocket. Man. You got to come over here and spend some of that. It ain't that far from your house.
No, definitely not.
No, yeah, just around the corner, like we like to say. But the steakhouse has kind of been the fun part as well, you know, they kind of give that elevated experience. I wasn't here, but back in the day, we used to have a steakhouse over on the boat, and kind of this is far better and a lot different. Like I said, good atmosphere. You kind of don't even think you're off right on the casino floor. You know, you kind of lose sight of that. But then right when you walk out, you're right there.
I know one of the chefs, he went to the John Falls Culinary Institute at Nichols State.
Okay.
And he told me that he was cooking here.
Yeah, so. There's that local
flair. But he did spend some time in Vegas.
Yeah.
He did spend some time there before he ends up here.
And Jeff Falls is the best. I mean, if somebody you got to learn from, that's one of the best right there.
Looking at the action that's going on in the casino, you mentioned some of the, obviously, the table games. You've got the jackpots on the slot machines. What are some of the other action that you have on the floor for folks?
Well, you know, just bringing it in, we brought in over 350 new games, you know, when we came over here. So, I mean, the latest and greatest, you know, all hot and ready to hit the big one, you know, and you can't miss it when you walk in. They're very dynamic, right there. And so we're excited just to have new games that are some, you know, just at Treasure Chest, just in Louisiana, but a lot of kind of the favorites and kind of new spin on the favorites. And then the table games. We love that it's in the center of the casino, kind of captures that whole atmosphere.
Sure.
You know, it kind of brings you all in. You know, having three floors over on the riverboat with something, you just kind of miss that. So we're just excited for one huge casino floor where everybody kind of is a part of that atmosphere. You know, we have a great rewards program, Board Rewards.
Right.
A lot of great benefits when you sign up for that. And, you know, we'll get you started right away with an offer right in your hands. When you sign up, it's easy. And you kind of be a part of the family and start seeing some great stuff.
Is still the most played game the slots, or do you find that it's been a little bit of a swing more toward the table games if you want to play blackjack or whatever?
Still the slots. You know, the interesting part is now you can play table games on like an electronic slot version.
Yeah.
You know, so, which is great. You know, those kind of who just don't want to dabble into the table games and get right into it, you can kind of learn it on the electronic side and then kind of progress up to the tables. You know, we got a lot of new faces on the table side. It's just, you know, great dealers that we have, you know, some good mix of table games, and that's been exciting to kind of see. And, you know, it's a little of both. You know, you can play both. You know, you don't have to be one or the other. You can play tables from one side and go right over to the slots, but there's a lot of great games out there nowadays.
I was telling Steve last week when I came in, you would figure, you know, because I still live on the bayou. The first two people I meet, they leave and I'm coming in because they've been here for a while. Were two people from the bayou area.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, what you doing here? I was like, no, I got to come do a show over here. Well, I didn't realize y'all doing a show. I said, no, it's our first one this week. people from all over here, but you were able to, man, I'll tell you, for a Thursday, you got a pretty good crowd over here for a Thursday afternoon before the sun goes down, because normally it sort of picks up there. After night, people are working, unless you do shift work and that sort of thing. But, man, you got a great crowd here for during the day.
Well, like you said, it's easy to get to. You know,
yeah.
It's just off the interstate, just down Williams Boulevard, right at the lake. You know, I was at Morgan City yesterday. It's an easy drive from the bayou area. You know,
Oklahoma. Oh, my goodness.
We got a lot of good guests from that area coming to us all over the North Shore and just around Kenner Metairie. So we're excited that we were able to kind of expand our little neighborhood of guests.
Yeah. How you've been feeling about the Saints so far this season? I know obviously last week was a bit rough, but man, we had a great hot start to the year, and hopefully we can get back on the winning track this Sunday in Atlanta.
First 2 weeks, you know, especially that Dallas game, I was like, we're watching the old Saints offense.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Pinch me. This can't be real.
This can't be, you know. And I always get worried with Philadelphia, you know, when we get a mobile quarterback in like Hurts.
You know it, right.
Kinda, you could see the difference in this team, and I think we'll injuries always come into play. You know, we got a little nicked up on the offensive line, and Kamara.
Atlanta too.
Yeah, exactly.
Both of them are going to be missing probably two starting offensive linemen this week.
Good news, Kirk Cousins not so mobile.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I'd blitz Kurt basically 80% of the time if he's throwing the ball. My thing is, in watching him the first couple weeks, man, you know, and he was never a super mobile guy to begin with, but, man, now coming off the Achilles, and I get that, and he's not young no more, okay? Prove it to me that you can hit those passes. Just make sure you cover the tight end. Last week they had some difficulties with Goddard.
They got a good tight end, too.
Oh, yeah. The Pitts guy, when he's healthy, Kyle Pitts is a tremendous athlete. And so to see if that can they can shut that down, because I think watching that game film, obvious, they're going to try to hit on exact same thing that the Eagles did last week with Goddard. They're going to try that with Kyle Pitts.
For you, Mike, when you see that with Pitts, what's been his issue? Is it mainly been injuries? But
it's been
because
injuries.
I feel even though when he's healthy, they haven't really targeted him much.
Because, you know, you kind of get out of rhythm. You're out for 3 or 4 weeks. You come back, and it's not that connection. But with a veteran quarterback who's used to throwing to the tight end. Man, he had a good one in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And that T.J. Hockenson. The Saints still trying to cover him from last year. What, he caught like 10 passes in one half against the Saints? And that was when they had the astronaut quarterback.
Right. Joshua Dobbs.
Yeah, Josh has made a living, and now he's with the 49ers. Now he's done pretty well. Goes to show you, and I could have told him this long ago, NASA don't pay what you might think. Okay, the NFL is paying better, even as a backup quarterback there. But this is an awesome place, Rodney. Y'all really have it fixed up well, and man, people just praise just how clean everything is and how sleek it is and easy to get, you know, from one venue to the next here.
Yeah, no, it's all centralized. You know, it's easy to find everything around, and we're thrilled. And we're thrilled that y'all are here with us on a weekly basis, and everything couldn't be great.
Love the convenience, and obviously, too, the safety, obviously, being outside the city limits.
It's a little different.
You're definitely a little different.
Yeah. Okay, Steve. I'll let you roll with that one.
I want to appreciate the time, Rodney, for sure, the director of marketing here at Treasure Chest Casino.
So you're going to be a regular with us, right, Rodney? You're going to be a regular every
day? Oh, yeah. Y'all regular. Oh. I'm here. We're all
right. Okay.
He's here for Treasure Chest Thursdays.
That's it.
We're going to make it a thing.
We'll connect with that every Thursday at 4:30. We'll have on with us Rodney Miller, the director of marketing here at Treasure Chest Casino.
Definitely appreciate the time, and we're going to take a break. Be right back with more. Stay tuned right here on WWL Saints, LSU, and Pelicans Radio. Back here on Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino, and you're talking about the game. And the game tonight, Thursday Night Football, kicking off Week 4. We've got the Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants. Both teams 1-2. You know, Jer got to be a little bit upset with this team, man.
A little bit. I know a little bit about it. No, they almost given up, man, like 30 points a game. Interested to see how they handle Malik Nabers tonight.
Because,
man, Malik's been on a tear early on. I know he's not playing with Patrick Mahomes, but still, man, he was one of those guys that you could see first time you watched him in an LSU uniform.
You just knew.
Yeah, he had the it factor, and you can't describe it or tell anybody what's involved with it, but he had it. His ability to make a catch in traffic, you know, his quickness to get into and out of a cut and a break. And then, you know, people will say, well, he's not fast. I was like, what? Not fast? You ain't never seen him run.
Right.
You know, not a lot of people catching him out in the open field. Now, he could run like Brian Thomas Jr. Brian, man. And Brian's was a football puppy. He didn't play football until his junior year in high school. He was a track athlete, basketball player. And to see, you know, Brian now, and he's doing well with Jacksonville, even though Jacksonville isn't doing well. But, man, him and Malik, great combination there for Jaden. And, man, what a Monday night for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, you talk about that Monday night game. What a commercial for LSU, huh? I mean, it's a
running commercial.
They're all over, you know, the NFL, obviously. But to be on display like that, two prominent Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks going on, it was really awesome.
Yeah, I told this to Charlie when we did the interview when he came to Manning. He's the most humble superstar you'll ever be around.
Who's that?
Jaden Daniels.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'll get it. It's all about my teammates. It's all about winning. You know, it's never about him other than to get better. Then it's all about him. I got to do better. And to hear him talk, and he's a God-fearing man. He always brings that up in any interview that you talk to him. You always say that. He was raised well. Mom and Dad did a good job with Jaden Daniels in raising him well. He's a
good
fantastic young man. And what he's done early, because I think everybody thinks, like with C.J. Stroud, you'll see that from everybody. Okay, all I know is Caleb Williams ain't no C.J. Stroud early. And Bo Nix, he had
one good game.
Yeah, man, that's an outlier to see what C.J. did last year for the Houston Texans. But – Jaden might give him a run. He might have that run on it because, man, he's such a smart guy, too. We got to run him out of the film room.
Sorry, Mike. We want to see you folks here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Join us at the Game Bar and Grill. Me and Mike here till 7 o'clock. Then Thursday Night Football will take over. Place your bets, folks. Be back with more right after this on WWL. What's up, everybody? Welcome on into our Thursday at the Treasure Chest Casino here at 4540 Williams Boulevard in Kenner. We are in the back of the casino, folks, at the Game Bar and Grill. Man, oh, man, I'm becoming a wings connoisseur here. Last week I got the lemon pepper. This week the garlic parm, and they have been phenomenal again, Mike.
Awesome. I got the cheeseburger.
cheeseburger.
Yeah, but I got to get something different from y'all, just like Bob last week. No, I don't want nothing to eat, and then he's eating out of both your plate and mine. So he thought the wings were pretty good, too. Let me pass that along.
He's like the date you bring along. No, I don't want to eat anything, and then what? Ends up having everything on your plate.
Exactly.
We're going to be talking, obviously, Saints football also this hour. Zach Nagy, the publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, will be joining us to preview a little bit of that South Alabama matchup as the Tigers have that game on Saturday and then head into the bye week. And then, man, oh, man, the real deal Holyfield starts after that with all the SEC action.
And you catch Ole Miss?
Right off the bat.
Take the Oval in that game. I don't know what it's going to be, but I know it'll be high. But, man, Ole Miss is putting up a ton of points, and they're rolling this year. You know, I give Lane Kiffin a lot of credit. He's done a great job in getting into the portal and helping out the defense. And that front seven he's got defensively. And so they look like a different team this year. We knew they could always score points, but now they're pretty stout on the defensive side of the football, too.
Also taking your calls, obviously, on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Telk and text line, 504-260-1870. I know we got James hanging on the line. James, what you got for us on this glorious Thursday?
James, man.
Yeah.
Been a while.
You know, listen, man, I'm so disgusted losing that last week. But shout out to your guys, man. They came in and fought real hard and deserved the beatdown we took. But so the Saints, we're 10-4 when Taysom plays against Atlanta. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you, James.
Okay, yeah. So we're 10-4 when Taysom plays against Atlanta. The thing that I think Atlanta's going to be focused on is simply that they've been 22% on third down, and. You know what it is. I kind of got an echo in the background because I got you online and I also got you on the radio version. So I'm kind of hearing myself right now. But anyways, I think what Cousins is going to try to do, and maybe Mike, you could talk about this briefly. They run a lot of dagger concepts, and so they're going to try to get McCloud and Mooney involved to get that short yardage thing going because basically they want to improve that third down percentage, and of course they're going to run the ball. You know, anybody would want to run the ball based on the way we played against the Eagles the other week. But the thing that really concerns me is why don't we play Kool-Aid in place of Houghton? And here's another thing. You know, Cam Jordan has not had a sack since Matt Ryan's left. Against the Falcons. I mean, what's his stats right now? I mean, I know we all love Cam, and, you know, it is what it is. You know, Father Time is undefeated. We all know that. But the thing that I fear the most is, you know, Hudson, nobody can tell me that Hudson wouldn't have been one of the best coverage linebackers. We put him on the practice squad knowing he was going to get taken by somebody, and I want to see that Lalo's guy. I don't want to see the same thing happen to him. What's your guys' thoughts on that?
I think one of the things in this game to watch is because this is a copycat league, is what the Eagles got loose with Dallas Goedert, is the situation with Kyle Pitts. How are you going to match up against him? Goddard's a really good player, but he's not the athlete that Kyle Pitts is. And Kyle, you know, he's been kind of set back a little bit because of some injuries, but he's a nightmare kind of mismatch downfield if it's a safety or a linebacker. So that to me is a concern and effort. I think one of the things you'll see the Saints do a lot is blitz and try to get after him. Without their starting center and their right tackle, It's a spot where you got to shoot people right up the middle. And we've seen they've had success with that with Alante Taylor, who was back at practice today. So
woo-hoo.
I think, you know, for Atlanta, they always going to try to run the football. That's their MO. If it's Bijan, if it's Tyler Allgeier, now they got Ray McLeod involved. That's first and foremost. They're going to try to run it. Who has really come through for them? We talked about this Monday. Man, Darnell Mooney from Tulane. He picked him up from the Bears.
Terry Fontenot knows something about them Tulane guys.
Yeah, and you know, he's sort of a big play guy for them. You know what Drake London can do. He's a huge target guy. Ooh. Worked that short intermediate area very, very well. And then you throw in Kyle Pitts. But you got to protect him. When you watch Kyle, you know, how Kirk Cousins is today, man, he's not real mobile. Never was, but he always had a little bit of a movement left and right. And you understand early on this season coming back off the Achilles, Kansas City, they sort of late in the game got in his face. They were fortunate that a couple one-pass interference wasn't called. They got about three of them called on them. But, man, Kirk Cousins can throw the football. If you give him time, you got to affect Kirk Cousins, and that's with pressure up the middle. But first and foremost against Atlanta, stop the run. Make sure Tyler Allgeier, Bijan Robinson don't control the tempo of this game.
Like you mentioned right there, Mike, I loved when Deuce was on with you yesterday saying with Kirk Cousins, he would throw the kitchen sink at him in this game.
I would throw it at him a lot. You know, you can't do it all the time because see a seasoned veteran like that, if you're going to blitz him all the time, he's going to figure it out, and he's going to pick you a couple of spots. But I would blitz him a lot, especially on third down situations, to get in his face and affect that throw. But they are a heavy run team. They want to run the football. And so if you got to throw everything on Cousins to make play after play, then you can get after him a little bit more. So for the Saints defense, hey, listen, this isn't a real difficult formula. Saints offensively, you got to run the football better, and you got to stop the run, because that's when you can put pressure on Kirk Cousins.
You look at the tight end position, obviously a concern after we saw what Dallas Goedert did last game, and then also no DeMario Davis right now practicing with a hamstring issue, so it becomes even extra concerning, I think, that position.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing with Pitts, he's difficult on one-on-one spots because of his athletic skills.
Yeah.
His speed, you know, can't duplicate that in practice. You don't have somebody on this Saints team that can run like what Kyle Pitts can. And the problem is Kyle has been being able to stay healthy, which he hasn't been able to do for a long length of time. And we'll talk a lot more about this in the 6 o'clock hour when we have the Orlando Ledbetter come on with us, talk about the Falcons. But, man, they got some weapons there. It's going to be which one of the two teams can block. Because you're missing two starters, basically, from both squads along that offensive line. Who has the better depth? And I do believe if Landon Young is healthy, he's going to be one of the starters at guard.
Looking at this, Mike, as we go into break, Atlanta a 2.5-point favorite going into this matchup. So, basically, a coin flip. Even the odds makers think so.
Yeah, what they do is giving you home field advantage.
Exactly.
Into that. But that over and under it was 42.5.
Yeah.
What is it? It's still 42.5?
Yes,
now.
Sir.
Has stayed sort of steady because I think it was 43 Monday when I first came in.
Feeling like an underdog.
And then it was 42.5 by the time we finished the show. So it feels like sort of an under game. And so you know what happens then. It becomes an over game.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to get into some LSU football, talking Tigers with Zach Nagy of Sports Illustrated. Stay tuned right after this at the Treasure Chest Casino here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Game Bar and Grill inside the lovely Treasure Chest Casino. We'll be here every Thursday. Want to stop by, say hey. We're at 4540 Williams Boulevard in Kennebra. Now helping to welcome in Zach Nagy, the publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, to the Radio Huddle. And Zach, how you been doing, man?
Doing good on this end. How about yourself?
We're doing great here. You know, obviously another big matchup for this LSU team taking on a tough South Alabama squad before the bye week. What are the biggest keys you think you need to see from this LSU team before they get a break and get into the nitty-gritty, the meat of the SEC schedule?
Yeah, look, for me, it's all about playing complementary football and playing four quarters. We haven't really seen LSU play a full four quarters of fantastic football so far this year. It's been sporadic. We've seen them come out on the first drive of the game and execute on all cylinders. And then in the second half, we've also seen them do that. But in the first half specifically, it's just been in spurts. For me, in order for this program to kind of reach that next level, it's about playing four quarters of football, coming out the gates hot, carrying that into the first and second quarter, going into halftime, regrouping, and then carrying it into the second half as well. Look, we can classify this team as a second-half team right now, but in order to kind of succeed, let's say, in the SEC, it's about playing four quarters of football, both complementary and every other direction of the game. So that's what I need to see from this team, and I'm hoping we can see that this Saturday in Death Valley.
Zach, one of the things we've seen the emergence of over the past few weeks, and I know you and I have talked about him, Aaron Anderson at wide receiver. We're looking for that guy who will be that number two player at wide receiver until Chris Hilton is able to come back. The good news is, looks as though Chris will be ready to go Saturday night in Tiger Stadium against South Alabama. But your thoughts on the growth of Aaron Anderson? You see a much more confident player. You know, him catching the football. And no one ever contested how well he could run with the football after the catch. He always has that skill set. But it's his route running skills and getting into and out of a cut and a break so much quicker than we saw a year ago, and his confidence in catching the football.
Yeah, Mike, I think he's really kind of hitting his stride here. And we talked about needing that wide receiver, too, to step in and kind of emerge and take the pressure off of Kyron Lacy. I think he's doing just that. And statistically, he's kind of proving to be kind of your most productive receiver right now. Obviously, Kyron Lacy is a guy who can take it to the next level and become this elite-level talent. And Aaron Anderson is coming in here and being very complimentary to what we need for him to do in Baton Rouge. And look, it's a guy who's finally healthy. He's dealt with knee injuries. He's dealt with other injuries. And now we're seeing what he's capable of when he's 100%. And right now, look, he's doing everything that you need him to do. He's taking the pressure off of guys like Kyron Lacy. He's opening up different dimensions of the game. You can get it to him in the open field, and he can turn it upfield for a chunk yard play. He can get downfield and catch an intermediate route as well. So, look, he's leading the team in yards per catch. He's doing a lot of things that you want from your wide receiver, too. Obviously, things will change once Chris Hilton's back in the fold and eventually gets healthy. You can't expect him to come out and kind of come out clicking on all cylinders his first game back. It's going to take time, and Brian Kelly's alluded to that. But when referencing Aaron Anderson and Aaron Anderson only, this is a guy who's unlocking different elements to the offense, and it's been a really, really nice spot to see him in.
The other guy on the defensive side, the football, and I talked to Pete Jenkins last night about it. And it was funny, before the season started, he brought up two names. He said, I think Savion's in for a big year. He's playing the right position. And he said, Mike, watch Braden Swenson. He's got a chance maybe to really piece this together. And Pete actually coached or helped mentor him when he was at Oregon, because Pete works with the Oregon Ducks defensive line and linebackers. And your thoughts on Braden? And, man, he's having a great season so far for LSU.
Yeah, I think Braden's making himself a lot of money this year right now. I mean, he's piecing together a strong start. And, again, it's just about consistency for this program. And he's been one just incredibly consistent piece of that defensive line. And for me, all along, going into this season, it was going to be about how productive your edge rushers were going to be. We've seen Savion Jones and Braden Swenson take a lot of the pressure off of that interior, where you and I have talked on several occasions. Look, the lack of depth is an issue, but as long as your guys on the outside can take pressure off of them, they can be productive, serviceable pieces. And we've kind of seen that over the last couple of weeks. But when highlighting Braden Swenson as a whole, man, he is putting together, and it's just a sensational year. He's number two in the SEC in sacks. He's got two forced fumbles. This is a guy who's been productive. And I don't really see him slowing down, Mike. This is a guy who I think is going to carry it into SEC play and really do everything you need from him in order to kind of make this defense as serviceable as they can be.
Zach, a look back, you know, I mean, it's always tough to lose a guy like Harold Perkins, because sometimes when he's not making a play, offensively, you want to know where he's at.
Right.
And you're trying to scheme to make sure he doesn't make the big play. And it opens up other things. And even Braden has brought that up. It's opened up things for him. It's opened up things for Savion. But if they go to the three linebacker sets, kind of explain everybody how that mix would be and how it would look. Certainly the Weeks brothers, it looks as though they got two of the three spots. But how would it look like for the Mike and also in the Sam linebacker position?
Yeah, look, I'm really intrigued to see how defensive coordinator Blake Baker kind of works this thing out. And like you alluded to, look, Harold Perkins is a fantastic football player. He can change the trajectory of the game in the blink of an eye. This is a guy who offensive coordinators and offenses as a whole have to keep tabs on before the snap, during the snap, during the play, you name it, all eyes have to be on number seven. Now, obviously, you lose that kind of key defensive playmaker. And look, box score doesn't tell the story for a guy like Perkins. He can do a lot of things that might not show up in that category. And now you kind of switch over to life without Perkins. And what's that going to look like? I mean, for me, you just worked as a 4-3 defense. You had Whit Weeks alongside Perkins and Greg Penn. For me, look, moving forward, I'd really like to see them go back to that 4-2-5 defense. I think that's something that Blake Baker and the defense are going to have to work with. That's four defensive linemen, two linebackers, and five defensive backs. Insert Major Burns at that star role and work from there. Look, Mike, I'm sure we're going to see a lot of different looks this weekend. You're playing against an inferior opponent where you should have the opportunity to test different things prior to SEC play. But for me, I'd really like to see them utilize that 4-2, 4-2-5 defense, get with weak significant snaps, and move on from there. A guy that you could see take the field on a couple of different plays is going to be Xavier Atkins, true freshman linebacker. He's a guy who they're going to look to activate if need be. That way you have four serviceable linebackers in Greg Penn, the Weeks brothers, and then insert Xavier Atkins as well. They've been really high on what he's doing off the field, on the field, and they could see him becoming a key piece to what they do down the line. I'd be very, very much expecting to see him see the field this weekend.
Zach, how much meat on the bone is Xavier Atkins?
I like what Xavier Atkins brings to the table here. This is a guy who's got nice size. He's been living in the weight room. He finished his last season of high school football in Texas. He's originally a Louisiana native. He's sitting over there around 200, 215. He's got some nice physique, Mike. I think this is a guy who could continue to hit the weight room more, put on size. But long-term, this is a player that Blake Baker and the rest of this defensive staff are very much looking forward to seeing what he can do.
You did a long interview with a guy that I think as we get into the SEC play, I think will emerge more and more, and that's Tre'Davious Green. Because one thing, even when he's covered, he's open. I mean, you know, when you're 6'7" and a half, there ain't no 6'7" and a half defensive back or linebacker covering you downfield. And your thoughts on them maybe – because we've seen so much of Mason Taylor, and he's such a tremendous football player. But with Pimpton and also with Green, their emergence more as the season goes on, because we know Brian Kelly wants to use more of the two tight end and maybe even three tight end sets.
Yeah, Tre'Davious Green is a guy who's a class act. He's a fantastic player to sit down with and talk it over with, talk ball with. But look, at the end of the day, Mike, this is a player who's only played two seasons of football. He played his 10th and 11th grade year, had to sit out his senior year due to eligibility and stuff. He played that last year as well. For me, when I'm looking at a guy like Tre'Davious, he has all the intangibles to become that up-next great tight end out of LSU. I'm really excited to see what he can do long-term. Like you said, he's a red zone threat just waiting to kind of burst on the scene. We've seen him get in the end zone already this year on a short route. But look, like you said, he's a 6'7", 245-pound monster. He has a basketball background that allows him to utilize that vertical. He can go up and get it. Same thing goes for Kamori and Pimpton. And so moving into SEC play, I'd love to see them utilize him as red zone threats. These are guys who are just waiting and kind of itching to get on the field, itching to make plays. We know what Mason Taylor can do in that tight end room. This is a guy who is just an incredible talent. I call him Mr. Reliable, Mr. Consistent. Obviously, he's rewriting the record books in Baton Rouge. Mason Taylor's a guy who can teach those two young guys how to become up next, teach them what it takes to become a great tight end at LSU. And when I look at a guy like Tre'Davious Green, I don't think there's a ceiling on what he can do. 6'7", 245, can go up and get it, be a talented receiving threat. Utilize him in the red zone. I'd love to see him get in the end zone this weekend just to boost his confidence going into SEC play. We've already seen them do that with a youngster in Kyle Parker. I'd like to see them do that with Tre'Davious Green as well.
Zach, I don't know if you got a horse in the race or not, but give me your thoughts. Alabama, Georgia this weekend.
Yeah, it's a tricky, tricky game. I'm a big fan of what Georgia can do. Obviously, we saw them struggle against Kentucky, and that made me scratch my head a little bit, just knowing kind of how Kentucky struggled against South Carolina. We saw how that game went. And then now we look at a team like Alabama, who's in year one under DeBoer. I'm really intrigued to see what they can do. I'd love to see Alabama kind of come out there and take that game over. Obviously, I'm a Louisiana native, so that's going to get a lot of people kind of, you know, not necessarily agreeing with that take. But look, I'd love to see Kalen DeBoer and that Alabama Crimson Tide team go and get a big win over Georgia. They're creating a dynasty over there in Athens, and I'd love to see kind of these two programs who have built up so much history go at it. And I'd like to see Kalen and his crew go out and get a big-time win.
Man, Milroe, you talk about big games for the quarterbacks. Carson Beck at Georgia and then Jalen. Getting to know Carson and Jalen at the Manning camps. Man, boy, it was so funny. Bill Belichick is there. Okay, he don't come to Manning. So I think he's looking for a job, so to speak, for next year. The first guy he went talk to, Jalen Milroe. Second guy, Carson Beck. Bing. 1-2.
Jalen Milroe is a class act, man. That's a guy who's just a fantastic interview, fantastic person, fantastic player. Looking at a quarterback battle that's going to have all eyes on it, wouldn't be surprised if all 32 NFL teams sent a scout out there to go and kind of watch what's going on over there in that game. But Carson Beck's a guy who's a fantastic game manager, can make the big-time play when need be over there for Georgia. It's going to be a big-time matchup. All eyes are going to be on it. I can't wait to see how it goes down. For me, I'd like to see the Crimson Tide come out and get a win, but who knows what's going to happen in this one.
Talking to Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. Back to this matchup with South Alabama, Zach. You have the Major Applewhite coming back to Baton Rouge, has really downplayed his, you know, coming back to his hometown. But I think obviously he's going to have this Jags team really jacked up for this game. What can we expect from South Alabama in this matchup against LSU?
Yeah, South Alabama's got a lot of juice on offense. They got Gio Lopez, who's a fantastic, dynamic quarterback, can utilize his legs to extend the play. And we've seen him do that on numerous occasions in this year. He's a true freshman quarterback. He's still young on the scene. But he can do a lot of things with his legs, and he can utilize his receivers, specifically Jamal Pritchett. That's his top guy. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that kind of duo works out against the defensive back room in Baton Rouge. That's kind of struggled a little bit. But their bread and butter is on the end. This is a program who can really, really get after it in their rushing attack. And it starts with Fluff Bothwell. Believe it or not, that's his actual name. And this is a guy who's really, really getting after it. He averages over 9 yards a carry. The South Alabama offensive line has given him opportunity after opportunity to really take advantage of his opportunities. So I'm looking forward to see the challenge this weekend. I do believe that LSU's defensive line will be put to the test against a super talented team. But at the end of the day, I think LSU's going to come out and get this win.
Last question for you, Zach. Your thoughts on the development of Cade Durham at running back? And everybody got an opinion. Sometimes I think we got to get him new TVs. But, you know, we talked a couple weeks back about how fast he was. So we had a couple texts. Man, he don't look that fast to me. You saw that pass out in the flat. And those UCLA guys thought they had a bead on him and an angle. And he just outran him to the end zone. More and more confidence each week in Caden Durham. And I know we'll always be running back by committee with Brian Kelly. And so we'll see with Caleb Jackson and Josh Williams. But, man, Caden Durham is making a statement here, not only as a runner, but also as a receiver coming out of the backfield.
Yeah, Mike, he's a speedster. I mean, this is a guy who didn't enroll early in January because he wanted to finish his last year of track with Duncanville. He's an uber-talented player who has the ball in his hands. Look, he's quick, he's twitchy, he's fast, he's athletic. You name it, that's Caden Durham. I've been really excited about the opportunities that he's been presented so far. Obviously, everybody in the world wants to see him become that lead back and take over. But there's so many elements to being a successful running back in the SEC, whether it's pass protection, et cetera. And that's Josh Williams' bread and butter. But for me, heading into this weekend, I'd love to see Caden Durham get in the end zone. I talked about it before with Trey Des Green, kind of getting that juice, kind of getting that momentum shift, carrying that in SEC play. I'd like to see that happen with Caden Durham as well. He's a guy who's super athletic. We've seen him succeed against South Carolina in an SEC game already. Let's get him in the end zone again, give him double-digit touches, and I think all it's going to do is boost his confidence moving forward. Fantastic player. I'm excited to see what he can do for the rest of the season.
Zach, always great insights from you. Appreciate the time. Be talking to you soon. Be sure to check out all his great work, folks. LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. Zach Nagy, appreciate the time. And you can follow him at ZNagy20 on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Appreciate the time, Zach.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, guys. You have a good one. Stay in touch.
All right.
Going to take a break. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk after this. Stay tuned. We're at the Treasure Chest Casino. I want to hear you stop by at the Game Bar and Grill right inside at 4540 Williams Boulevard in Kenna. We'll be right back here on Sports Talk on WWL after this. Back inside the Game Bar and Grill for the Treasure Chest Casino here at 4540 Williams Boulevard in Kenna. We're getting ready for Thursday Night Football. The New York Giants and Dallas Cowboys about to kick it off. You can place your bets at the FanDuel Sportsbook right here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Also, make your bets for game days in the NFL, college action going on also this weekend. We're going to get into our triple option feature, guys. We're talking about some of the top stories in sports right now, and I want to give a shout out to the Pelicans. Made an announcement today about some promotions and additions to the team's coaching staff and basketball operations department. Swin Cash, one of the great ladies in our sport, promoted to senior vice president of basketball operations. Congratulations to her. Also, Rohan Ramadas has been elevated to senior director of analytics and innovation for the Pel. But, man, oh, man, just to have a lady like that around this organization and Swin Cash, a big positive for the Pelicans. And, like I said, congratulations to her and the team.
Yeah, no question about it. Charlie, I'm going to throw it to you because I know you got to tell me about the Astros, right?
You know, I am actually going to focus on the AL wild card pitcher right now, guys, because it is my Astros is the 3 seed right now. Steve's Yankees, I believe, still hold the top spot in the AL as well. The Guardians kind of clinching that first round bye. So the Astros aren't going to get a first round bye. We'll have to play in the wild card round. But who are they going to face? And I think it's actually kind of interesting. I'm keeping up with it right now. The Tigers, the Royals, and the Twins are all fighting for a wild card spot. The Orioles have already clinched, and right now they're the 4 seed, which means the Astros wouldn't have to face them. In all likelihood, they are going to be the 4 seed. But as a matter of who's going to be the 5 and the 6, because, you know, ever since the MLB expanded that kind of playoff format to include 6 teams making it, it changed up a few things. So right now the Tigers hold the 5 seed and the Royals hold the 5 seed and the Tigers hold the 6 seed. But who they're playing at the end of the season matters, right? Detroit has a 3-game set against the lowly Chicago White Sox, who've already hit that 120 loss mark. I know I've kind of brought that up a couple times in the past. But then the Royals are playing the Atlanta Braves. If you're looking at the NL wild card pitcher, guys, a couple teams are going to be fighting for a playoff spot. The Mets, the Diamondbacks, and the Braves are all basically a game apart, fighting for 2 spots. So the Braves have something to play for. The White Sox, I don't think they do. So if you're looking at how things are going to shape up a little bit, all those Astros fans out there, I would anticipate, now this isn't putting anything in stone, I would anticipate the Astros playing the Royals in the wild card round of the playoffs, whereas the Tigers are going to get that 5 seed if they can take care of business against a terrible White Sox team and face the Baltimore Orioles in the wild card round.
Charlie, it's a question I'm going to ask you for triple option, and I thought you saw sort of a class act when Alex Bregman, which could have been his last game, regular season game, in Houston last night. And what do you think will happen there with Bregman? And who would replace Alex? They can, man, that's a big bat to lose out of the lineup with Bregman. So where would the Astros go with there? Because I've had a couple people ask me that today. And you kind of see that they're setting the stage that, you know, this is sort of the end of the trail for Bregman.
So, yes, that's kind of what it's seeming like. I know if you ask Jose Altuve, you know, what he thinks about it, he's fully anticipating for Alex Bregman to be back for the foreseeable future. But as far as a guy that's kind of in the minor leagues that they're ready to bring up potentially next year, Bryce Matthews is their top prospect, a former guy that they drafted out of the University of Nebraska a couple years ago. I think it was in 2023, correct. So he could be an option there. He's an infielder to potentially move over to third base there because they just really don't have anyone else. If you're asking me personally, I would love to see them bring Alex Bregman back. He's been a huge kind of, like, he's been Mr. Consistent, right? He's not the flashiest player in the world, but he's a guy that's going to hit 260 with a good amount of home runs, a good amount of RBI production, run totals. He plays a lot. He plays really good defense at third base. if you're asking me, I would love to see the Astros bring him back. But you know what it comes down to, Mike, in every situation when it comes to these contracts is the money aspect, is how much he's looking for, especially for an aging player. So if the Astros can figure out something with Bregman, I think that both sides are still interested in him coming back. I think that, you know, standing ovation that the Astros fans gave him for potentially his last regular season game in Minute Maid Park is just kind of a just in case if he does in fact leave. But, I mean, he's already cemented himself as a Houston legend in my book.
Because you sort of felt, you know, that moment that this was, hey, guys, this is it.
Right, exactly. You know, tip of the cap.
Yeah, tip of the cap. This is sort of it for me here. And so, man, the one thing the Astros have done really well in their farm system has been able to get some top talent out of it. So, man, that's a big loss, though, if it's the final moments for Bregman with Houston.
Want to bring up to you guys. Sorry, I want to bring up to you guys real quick, seeing for Thursday night football action tonight in Giant Stadium, Malik Nabers warming up, has a shirt on that says Discipline, Attitude, Will, Grit. You got to love it out of this.
Well,
dude,
he got all of it.
Right, exactly.
He got all of it. This was a guy that LSU, he was not on the top list for them. They had a young man from Texas that they had a commitment from. And he decommitted. He went to another Texas school. Didn't really work out for him well. And at the last minute, Coach O and company, they go down there and re-recruit Malik to come to LSU. Because he had verbally committed to Mississippi State. That's where he was going to go. And they get him in the bewitching hours right before signing time.
Coach O, the closer.
And Malik was, man, I didn't know for a while because – they sort of sideswiped me a little bit, but he said, then, you know, I figured at the end it was my best shot. Always sort of grew up an LSU fan, wanted to play in Tiger Stadium.
That's awesome.
I got that opportunity, and so, man, it's worked out for Malik pretty well.
We're going to take a break. That wraps up our triple option feature. We're getting ready to close out the 5 o'clock hour. In the 6 p.m. segment, we'll get into some Atlanta Falcons talk, do some spying for the Saints. Atlanta Journal-Constitution Falcons beat writer D. Orlando Ledbetter, good friend of the program, will join us, breaking down those Dirty Birds for ahead of Sunday's big matchup in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the ATL. That's a noon start right here on WWL, Saints Radio, and, of course, the Odyssey app. We'll be back right after this break at the Treasure Chest Casino in Kenner on WWL after this. Closing out the 5 o'clock hour of sports talk here. Want to remind all Tiger fans out there, Saturday, LSU's taking on South Alabama in Death Valley. Coverage will be starting at 2 o'clock. Mike Dettillier, Herb Tyler.
What?
For
you
the
sure
Gulf
about that?
Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgate Show. That's what it says in front of me here.
All
so
right,
you got to be
right
there.
Yeah, yeah.
At the Acme Hoister House in Baton Rouge. Some pretty good eatings over there, too.
Yeah, man, Acme's awesome, and we just a little over a mile away from Tiger Stadium, so come on by and visit with Herb and I. We'll be at Acme Oyster House from 2 to 4:45 Saturday.
Coming back with more after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk here on a Treasure Chest Thursday. We're at the Game Bar and Grill, enjoying the TVs, the drinks, the food, everything going on before Thursday night football about to kick off. Maybe place a bet or two for tonight's game and maybe for the weekend as well, Mike.
Yeah, the food didn't last too long. It didn't get cold, that's for sure. But food's great here. Got great drink specials here. So come on out and see us. And we're here each and every Thursday from 4 to 7, right before Thursday night football. And tonight, Cowboys and the Giants, Bobby's favorite team, the Cowgirls.
Yeah, I know he'll be rooting for the NFC East squad that is the G-Men tonight.
He don't pull for too many New York teams, but
right?
He will tonight.
Looking at that, Cowboys, obviously been a huge disappointment. And, man, oh, man, you just going back to that Week 2 matchup of the Saints where it was really a black and gold domination. They just manhandled the team up and down the field. It was pretty amazing to see. Obviously, last week, a bit of a letdown for this squad against the Eagles. And hopefully the Saints can bounce back this Sunday, taking on a very important opponent in an NFC South divisional matchup against the Falcons. Looking at that injury report today, Mike, that came out, going over it again. We had Derek Carr, Taysom Hill, a full go. Both of them listed on the report, though. Carr dealing with a groin issue. Taysom Hill back after dealing with a chest injury. Both of them obviously will be needed fully against the Atlanta Falcons. We had limited DeMarco Jackson still. Colin Saunders also limited was Alvin Kamara. That's a positive, an upgrade from yesterday when he didn't practice, as he's dealing with not just a rib issue but also a hip injury.
Yeah, I remember Sean Payton telling us that, man, the one thing with Alvin, he's one of the smartest players.
Right.
He picks things up.
Talk about that IQ.
And he knows what to do, where to go. He's not going to mess up an assignment. He gets it. And, you know, for some players, they rep guys. They got to do it over and over and over again. And for Alvin, he can pick it up so quickly as, man, they used to say this about, you know, kind of long division and all that, you know, that, you know, some kids could pick it up quick. Now they got calculators now, so they can fool with all that.
You forget calculators. You got a phone.
Yeah, you got well, they got a calculator on the phone. So it's one of those deals. But, man, Alvin, he's sharp, really sharp guy. And so you'd love to see Kamara or Taysom Hill. That twosome when they play up against the Falcons.
Yeah, because real quick, want to get into two. Last game was really a disappointment to see the lack of use of a guy like Jamal Williams. One carry, negative 1 yards, and I just thought he'd be a more of a presence because he was a physical type runner, which I thought you would need in this game against the Eagles, and just didn't happen.
Almost like he lost some giddy up after the step once he left the Lions. You can tell he's not as quick hitting a hole and getting out.
For sure. Looking at some of the other guys, you mentioned some football smarts. Alante Taylor was dealing with an illness, didn't practice Wednesday. He was a full go today. That is good news for the black and gold. But then you look at linebacker DeMario Davis, who's dealing with a hamstring issue. Second straight day of not practicing for DeMario. That's a bit of a concern also with Cesar Ruiz, the guard. Knee issue, not practicing in back-to-back days for the Saints. Added to the report today, A.T. Perry, wide receiver, hamstring issue, did not practice. And then Cedric Wilson Jr. got dinged up reportedly at practice, has an ankle issue, so he ended up being limited on the day. But, yeah, obviously, Mike, those DMPs on DeMario Davis and Cesar Ruiz, a major concern and something we'll be talking about tomorrow when the final injury report for Sunday comes out.
What it was last year, he had a knee injury, DeMario, and was like, man, we don't know if he's going to play, and then bang.
I talked to God, he said, basically, and
yeah,
was like.
Yeah, and I'm here. I'm here. Tee it up. I'm ready to go. And the Falcons, they've added some. Now, with Jake Matthews, he'll return because expecting a child.
Right.
But with Matthew Judon with a hamstring injury, and Bijan, and I know this is a carryover from the preseason that he had a little bit of an issue with his shoulder and limited practice today because of that shoulder injury.
That is definitely huge because he was not on the practice report on Wednesday. So I'm imagining that's something that happened in practice as well for the Dirty Birds and not practicing for a second straight day. We talked about this a lot. Caleb McGarry, their tackle, has a knee issue. And
we know Drew Dolman won't play.
Right, their center. So just as the black and gold dealing with offensive line issues, what do you know? Their biggest rival in the NFC South, the Dirty Birds, also facing those same issues. So it's kind of, I guess you would look at it as something that's even going into this matchup, at least. You're both kind of struggling at that O-line position. It's going to come down to, I guess, who's got better depth there.
Yeah, and again, this is, man, haven't done this for a long time. None of these games, you can predict it or try to, but they never turn out like you think. There's always a couple of crazy things that happen when the Saints play Atlanta. And I don't care if it's in Atlanta or in New Orleans. There's some crazy things that happen. And the other factor will be, will that be in the back of their minds how it ended last year? With that final touchdown.
Yeah, everybody's been kind of playing it off this week, but I remember, you remember, and I'm sure as heck the Falcons remember.
Yeah, and man, what? Because if you were just going to take the knee is one thing, but you got in the formation like you were going to, and then.
Yeah, they don't care that Jameis ain't here anymore.
Yeah, what? No, it just matters if it's the Saints. Now, I will say this. Years ago, man, the Falcons would run up scores on the Saints like that, too. I shed no tears for that deal.
Sure, right.
But, you know, if you're a player, you sort of remember that that particular moment.
And it wasn't just running up the score, Mike. It was you're in victory formation.
It's how you did it.
It was kind of cheap.
Yeah, and so we'll see after the game what Falcons players say about it, because I'm sure it has been brought up to them a few times by some of the veterans on this team. You might say, oh, y'all making too much of that. No. Now, you remember when somebody does something to you.
We hear from Michael Jordan, obviously, is one guy that always talks about any little thing to help motivate you. That could end up being that little extra push.
Exactly, because this time of year, you've heard all the speeches you're going to hear. Okay? And so if you need a little bit putting the cables on the battery, this the jumper cable comment.
Yeah, getting a little extra juice in there. Getting closer to that kickoff between the Cowboys and Giants on Thursday Night Football. You can hear that, obviously, WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. And you can stop by the Treasure Chest Casino. Got it on all the big screens here. Also, the FanDuel Sportsbook. You can place your bets on the game. Also, this weekend's college and NFL action as well. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll be talking more about those Dirty Birds. We'll see what D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution has to say about those Falcons when we get back right here at the Treasure Chest Casino on WWL after the break. Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. We're at the Game Bar and Grill getting ready for Thursday Night Football, about to kick off 7 o'clock. We are getting ready, though, for the big matchup in Atlanta on Sunday, Saints versus Falcons. Happy to be talking to D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution to help break this matchup down. D., how you been doing?
Hey, I've been doing pretty good, Mike and Steve. Thanks for having me on the show.
Man, it looks like mirror images, both of them, without their starting centers, and looks as though Cesar Ruiz probably won't play against the Falcons, and looks like McGrady won't against the Saints. So kind of tell us what's going to happen at the center position for the Falcons without Dolman.
Yeah, they've got Ryan Nuzel, a kid from Appalachian State who came out in 2020. He played there with the Falcons line coach, Dwayne Ledford. He was on the practice squad for a couple years and finally got on the field last year, started 3 games there, and went in last week when Dolman went out. And, they seem to be real confident in him holding it down here for a few games while Dolman's out with the high left ankle sprain.
Wondering what's going on with the injury report today with the Falcons, D, seeing Matthew Judon, Bijan Robinson popping up after not being on there yesterday.
Yeah, I was told that they had to just kind of put Bijan on there because he missed a few reps in practice today. Judon, I don't have any extra information on him. But they were first-timers today. Bijan's expected to be full tomorrow, no big thing there. But Judon with a hamstring, an older guy, that's always a concern when you see them pop up on the injury report with the old soft tissue injury.
D, one of the things, everybody, this is a copycat league, and they saw what happened in the Eagles game with Dallas Goedert, and he seemed to be open even when he was covered, to be honest with you, and he wasn't covered too much in that football game, that this may be a big game potentially for Kyle Pitts, who seems to be healthy now, D, and I know he had fought injuries early on and during his career. How does it look like for Kyle and how has he played early on this season? I watched he made a couple plays against the Chiefs, but in that spot, this would seem to be an area where maybe they can make some hay against the Saints because the Saints had difficulties last year covering the tight end, and now, what you saw last week against Goddard.
Yeah, Pitts is, the whole offense is just kind of figuring each other out. They're getting better as each week goes by. The only thing that's been consistent was Bijan Robinson run the ball until last week where the Chiefs shut him down. They've been able to get it to Mooney, a little bit to London. Pitts only has 12 targets, so he's available. They have to, see what, Goddard was able to do and got to figure out they got to come up with some ways to get the ball to Pitts. As this offense grows together with the new quarterback and all the new players and so forth. So, you know, you just seen it all kind of coming together. It hasn't worked yet. We don't even know if they can get him the ball, but he certainly got him one on that deep crosser against Kansas City that went for 50 yards. So now you want to see if they can do that again.
One of the things, too, is we saw him at college and when he was at Tulane is Darnell Mooney. He goes to the Bears, and he's had some good moments there with Chicago. They were able to pick him up this offseason, and he seems to be the perfect complement for Drake London. Well, you know, because Drake's this big, tall, lengthy guy, thickly built receiver, and Darnell's the speed guy, and he's certainly come through for you guys so far.
Yeah, they've been able to get him free. He got a 41-yard touchdown in Philadelphia. That was key. They picked up the blitz and hit him deep. They've been able to hit him on some shallow crossers coming out of bootlegs. Been able to hit him on some deeper stuff, too. So, yeah, him and Kurt are coming right along with their relationship in the passing game. I think they're a little bit further along than Kurt and Pitts and maybe even Kurt and London. But yeah, Darnell has been one of the surprising stories early in the season here for the Falcons.
Justin Simmons coming in. He was a late pickup for him, seasoned vet, understands this game at a different level. One of the people that have played and coached with Justin always bring out just his intelligence level and putting people in the right place and him knowing what to do. But also, he's a great communicator out on the field. That has really come through very quickly with Justin because I know it came down between Saints, Falcons for him, and he ended up picking Atlanta. But your thoughts on him as a leader on this team, and you always got to have a chirper in the secondary. Always a guy that got to be that individual to make sure everybody knows what they have to do. He seemingly has taken that role very, very quickly.
Yeah, more share with Jesse Bates, but they're both are same kind of style safety. But Jesse, just because he's been there longer, they've been able to work it out between themselves to where, they've got their side of the field together and Justin's got his side, closer to the nickelback together. And so far they haven't looked real disjointed on defense. They have giving up a lot of runs. They have been on the field a lot, 12 plays or 10 yards or 10 plays or more, but, only 9 were scoring, 5 field goals, 4 touchdowns, and 2 getting off on downs and 1 off an interception by Simmons. So the defense is further along than the offense right now, and Simmons has been able to come in and blend in with the group very easily.
Ray Robinson's a guy that's been – he's been a nice surprise for this team, hasn't it? He's a nice addition and what he's able to bring to the table as both a runner and a receiver.
Yeah, they weren't able to get him loose on a sweep there. He had 7 targets in the first game against Pittsburgh because, teams are going to try to take away London and Pitt. So, Mooney and Ray McCloud, they're going to be available to Kirk Cousins, and he's going to check it down. He's going to find them. He's a progression quarterback. So, while he's free, he's got to make teams pay. And, that'll open up other parts of the offense as, teams decide, okay, well, we got to, account for Mooney and account for McCloud also. So they got weapons. They're just figuring out how they got to use them and so forth with the new coordinator who's a first-time coordinator and, a veteran quarterback who's with, all these young guys for the first time.
Mike mentioned it early on, obviously, what Dallas Goedert was able to do against the Saints with the Philadelphia Eagles. We're kind of concerned going into this matchup with a guy like Kyle Pitts. Obviously, he's been a bit of a disappointment over there. I know he's dealt with injuries, but right now, your big tight end over there has been healthy. How's he been progressing in this offensive scheme now?
Yeah, he got open deep last week. That's the one thing that the tight end coach has been saying, is they want to see him play fast. The year he had 1,000 yards as a rookie, they said he was playing fast. And that's what they're trying to get him to, make sure that he's going top speed at all times. And they believe that the coverage is dictated that he hasn't gotten the ball early, but they believe the ball is going to find him in this offense. And so I don't know, who he is in this offense. You know, it's the Rams offense. Is he Cooper Kupp? Is he one of the other guys? He's a tight end. You know, they move him around a lot. But so far, they haven't. It's not seamless. It's not real smooth. It's real choppy. So it's just a work in progress with, you know, integrating him into this offense at a high level.
D, all of us watched Sunday night, and you know there was a lot of emotion in that game, especially too when you play the defending champs and Patrick Mahomes and what they bring to the table. And man, it's almost like you had them and you let them kind of slip away a little bit toward the end with an opportunity to maybe win that game against Kansas City. What has the mood been in Atlanta since then? Because man, you just had a feeling watching the game. Man, if you left them one kind of bullet in the gun, Mahomes was going to get them. But the Kansas City defense came through on the big play. I'm not sure about that play call on fourth down, but had an opportunity. So what's been the mood around the team losing a game where you had a lot of things sort of go for you to put you in a positive manner to win? It just slipped away late.
Yeah, mood's been pretty upbeat, surprisingly, in the fact that, you know, they went toe-to-toe with the two-time defending Super Bowl champs, whereas in times past, they would have got blown out the stadium. I'm hearing from my friends that were riding the train back and forth that the fans were pretty upbeat, too, and they can see that this is a much better team that, you know, could come together and maybe do some damage in the NFC South. So they've been rather upbeat internally. And in the city and so forth, you know, the teams that they've lost to are 8-1. So they played three playoff teams, should have won two of them for sure. Pittsburgh didn't even score a touchdown against them. So, you know, that's a lot. That's an uplift in the quality of football they've been playing here in Atlanta the last 6 years when they haven't gone to the playoffs. So folks are very optimistic that this team could put it together. And, you know, maybe have a winning season here in 2024.
D, with the problems the Saints have in the middle and uncertainty on exactly how it's going to shake out, you know you won't have Eric McCoy to deal with and most likely a new right guard. The play so far of Grady Jarrett, who sustained the first, as far as I can remember, the first major injury he's had as an NFL player, and then a guy we knew a lot about, David Onyemata. Tell us a little bit about the, you know, how that combination has worked, because I know in talking to Coach Ryan Nielsen last year when he was there, man, he was looking forward to having those two guys in the middle sort of control things, and then Jarrett goes down to the injury.
Yeah, they've been back together this year, and, you know, so far so good. They both have done a good job playing not next to each other now. They got Eddie Goldman in as the nose tackle when they're in their 3-4 base. But when they go through their 4-2-5 nickel, they're both in there together. Onyemata's taking on a lot of the blocks. He's eating up a lot of the blocks and setting things up for Caden Ellis in the run game. Grady's getting free at some times to get a little pressure on the quarterback, but they still haven't done that. Their main job is to shut down the run, and they haven't done that particularly well because they have running quarterbacks in the first two games. But we'll see if they're able to, you know, get that going. It was looking good before Grady got hurt last year under Coach Nielsen, and now we got to see how Jimmy Lake, the new coordinator, tries to get those guys going in the middle of that defense there.
You mentioned Caden Ellis there, former Saints draft pick. How does he continue developing that Atlanta system?
Yeah, I've been getting rave reviews about his play, and he's the green dot guy, and he's able to get some pressure on quarterbacks, so they ask him to do a lot. But he's kind of carrying the kid next to him who's trying to learn how to play linebacker after being an athlete in 1AA or whatever we call it now, FCS or whatever at Montana. But, yeah, Caden's doing a great job over there. He's holding things together. Trying to teach Troy Anderson the instincts of that position. But, yeah, everybody that I've talked to has been very pleased with his play.
Mike Hughes, as you know, because everybody – understands the type of talent A.J. Terrell is on one side. But how has Mike Hughes held up as, you know, opposite A.J.?
Yeah, so far he's held up pretty good. In the first game, Justin Fields didn't try to attack him, and neither did Hurts. But he saw a lot of action from Mahomes, and he came up with he had five tackles in the Eagles game and seven in the last game. So, you know, nobody's getting by him. He's running his position, playing his zone, and he's coming up and tackling in a physical manner. So this is the fourth team that has given him a chance to be a starting cornerback. Injuries have derailed him in other places and quality of play. But Jerry Gray was with him in Minnesota, and so he's going to ask him to do what he can do. And if he can't, he's not going to try to put him in a position where he's playing man against somebody that he, you know, can't run with. So far they've been very pleased. But like I said, I went and did his history, you know, even going back to, you know, there was a five-star coming out of North Carolina, New Bern, and signing with the Tar Heels. But the kid has got talent, and that's why he was a first-round pick. But, you know, he had some horrific injuries earlier in his career. And he's mature now. And then, you know, you just want to know if he can sustain it over the long haul. Looks pretty good here early, but can he hold up physically over the long haul, after having all these bad injuries early in his career?
D, definitely appreciate the time. Always great info. How's the fan base been feeling? I know the first two home games have been losses. Obviously, you don't want to lose to the Saints, and you don't want to drop to 0-3 at home going into this one.
Yeah, no doubt. The fan base is doing pretty good, given the fact that the optimism for the season was very high. They knew it was going to be a tough start to the season when you're facing the Steelers, the Eagles, and the Chiefs. They didn't get the doors blown off, so they're still here for it. You know, they still don't like the Saints a whole lot, and they want to win on Sunday, then try to go to the Bucs and maybe take early control of the NFC South.
D, you guys are under a tropical storm warning, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I've been following it. The last update at 6:24, it hadn't hit Florida yet. Where we're at in Central Georgia, they got a big 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. window. So we'll just stay on top of that. Hurricane Helene, it's up to 130 miles, but it hasn't hit landfall yet. And so we're just monitoring that for the next 24 hours to see how, things go over here in Georgia and Florida.
But you stay safe, man. You stay safe, D.
Well, thank you so much. Certainly plan to do so. This is an act of God, and we'll be ready to, kind of got to hunker down here.
Always appreciate the time, D. Thank you. We'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, D.
Sure. No problem, Steve. Dave, take care. Thanks for having me.
All righty.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Falcons beat writer. Man, oh, man, he's been with the Falcons squad covering them forever.
Man, D's been there.
God knows the ins and outs.
Over 30 years, for sure.
Yeah, huh?
And so knows the ins and outs of the organization, and certainly, man, he has seen some good and a lot of bad. He's sort of like me. You've seen some good, and you've seen a lot of bad.
A lot more highs, at least here.
Well, under Peyton, yeah.
Right.
We've seen a lot of highs here before. I couldn't have really said a lot of that. But, D's been through the same thing. Because these are teams that came into the league 1 year apart, and yet you look at their histories. The Saints have one Super Bowl title. They went to a Super Bowl, but they didn't win it.
Choked it away.
Oh, man. Well, they actually went two and ended up losing both. But, man, these teams sort of mirror images in a lot of way of one another.
We're going to take a break and come right back to the Treasure Chest Casino right after this on our Treasure Chest Thursday here on WWL. We're back here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Treasure Chest Thursdays, I'm calling
Treasure
it.
Treasure Chest.
We got Tulane Tuesdays, so we got Treasure Chest Thursdays now.
Tulane Tuesday, Treasure Chest Thursday. That sound like a winner?
Now we need, like, Money Making Mondays or something.
That's pretty good. I'll give that maybe Tommy Tuchel will steal that one.
We got Thursday Night Football coming up. Obviously, a matchup between some interesting foes that have been struggling early on. NFC East teams and the Giants and Cowboys. How are you feeling about this one? I know the Giants are six-point dogs at home, I think.
Man, listen, neither one of them have set the world on fire. A lot of expectation in the Cowboys because they – you know, the team of a few superstars here and there.
And they've been paying money for them, too.
And they have not been able to run the football and can't stop the run. Okay, in this league, where we talk so much about the pitch and catch part of the game, those two elements still play big. And the Cowboys, you know, that's a certain way to beat them in running at them and running the football. Man, we saw the Saints do it and the Ravens last week. You know, Derrick Henry's still a man out there on that football field, despite his age and all the hits that he's taken. But he's given out a lot, too. And then Lamar brings that element that I don't know if the Giants can run the ball like that.
Saquon.
no Saquon. He's in Philly. We've seen enough of that, too.
Exactly.
Man, you think about Malik Nabers and what he brings to the table there. But there is that part of it, Steve, about for the Cowboys, can they stop the run and can they run the football? And that's the big question. Right? If you ask me who's going to win, I think Dallas wins tonight.
Right.
But, man, it is no sure deal. So if I had to bet, I would bet Cowboys, but only because I think Dallas is better at the quarterback position.
You mentioned
with Dak over Daniel Jones.
You mentioned the Cowboys running game too struggling. Ezekiel Elliott doesn't look like that dude. And
no.
Rico Dowdle, people are talking about. Pick him up in fantasy football. For what?
My thing about it is you never know with a running back. And having worked with running backs throughout the years, I think one of the things that shows up early when you're not quite as good is you don't hit the hole as fast. You know, if you have a hole, you can run through it, but you don't hit the hole as fast and come out and be able to get extra yardage after the hit. And, man, with Zeke, who is a tremendous – I mean, you talk about a top-line player early in his career, but, man, he took a lot of shots. And he was a heavy-duty runner in high school, heavy-duty runner in college, heavy-duty runner early at Ohio State. And, man, the man upstairs only gives you so many hits. You know, and he's serviceable, but really probably on another team, he's your number two back.
Right. We got a heavy-duty break coming up. We'll be right back to close out Sports Talk, so stay tuned right here on WWL. Closing minutes here on Sports Talk live from the Treasure Chest Casino. We've been at the Game Bar and Grill, excuse me, here at the Treasure Chest, enjoying all the staff and the wondrous amenities around us as we get ready for Thursday Night Football, kicking off at 7 o'clock. Mike, want to touch on real quick NFC South action also this week. Pretty interesting. You got Carolina Panthers hosting Cincinnati Bengals. Andy Dalton back at the helm for the Panthers, and kind of a little bit of a revenge game, maybe you could say, for him against those Bengals.
Yeah, but it's been a while, so to speak, since he's played for Cincinnati.
Right.
Man, Cincinnati needs to win big time. They really, really need to win.
Also looking at the matchup, another NFC South game that's pretty important. Tampa Bay Buccaneers tied with the Saints for the division lead with the 2-1 record, having to bring in now those Philadelphia Eagles coming to Tampa after, man, those Bucs got waxed by Denver at home.
Did they get beat? They got beat up against them. They were a beat-up football team before they played Denver, but they were a beat-up team the week before, and they went to Detroit and won there. So, man, now Philly's beat up also. No A.J. Brown, no Devontae Smith, Lane Johnson with the concussion. So,
and they're all crying about the Saints players.
Yeah, well, whatever. You know, come on, it's a contact game. Those things are going to happen in those sorts of situations. But, you know, again, just to me, I've always felt the NFC South was still the Bucs. You know,
agreed, right.
Until somebody can catch them. You win three straight years, okay, and they've done a great job building that team. A lot of young players, and so you had a bad hiccup last week, though. Man, Sean in Denver put it to them.
For Steve and Mike, have a great night, everybody. See you at the Treasure Chest next week on WWL.